All right, welcome to the Free Stretch here on JoeBucksFan.com, brought to you by Bill Curry Ford. I am Bobby Fenton. Week 4 edition, really week 3 wrap-up, week 4 edition. I know we've been all over the place lately, but wanted to do another Monday morning recap of the Friday night game this past week. Of course, the Bucks win, if you want to call it that, 13-12 over the Browns, who did nothing but kick 4 field goals. Matt Gay, another game winner in the final minute. And we'll talk all about what happened on Thursday night. Of course, that's the one that's supposed to tell you the most of any of the preseason games, which still isn't very much, but there's a little bit to it that we'll get to. And then, as we know, the final preseason game on Thursday night, when all 16 NFL Week 4 preseason games will take place, like they always do, the Thursday before Labor Day weekend, Bucks will be going to Dallas to take on the Cowboys. Vincent Testaverde Jr. been signed to play quarterback in that one. He's the number 3 right now since Blaine Gabbert went down with a shoulder-elbow thing on Friday night. And so now Griffin's the number 2, and they don't want to use the number 2 too much. They want to use a 3 for pretty much all these preseason games that are the last ones. And so that's where Vincent Testaverde comes in. So we'll talk about that on the show today. I've got thoughts, of course, on the Bucks. Of course, on Andrew Luck, when the news came down on Saturday night that he was retiring. It came down during the Florida-Miami game, which was a whole other thing, and I'll say a few things about that later on in the show as well. So a lot to get to today. The Free Stretch, as always, brought to you by Bill Curry Ford. And I was hanging out last night with my good friend Sean Sullivan, the GM of Bill Curry Ford, as well as Dennis Phillips, who is a meteorologist with the ABC affiliate here, Todd Wright, the Joes, the whole thing. We had the big fantasy draft. It set everything up. And I'm not a fantasy guy, but I was actually filling in for somebody there. So I stepped in, drafted a hell of a team, and had a great time talking to Sean, talking to everybody else. And I was talking to him about what they've got going on at Bill Curry Ford, as always, is the lifetime warranty on all vehicles they sell you. So if it's new, pre-owned, whatever it is on the lot there, you get this. And this is what you get. Unlimited years, unlimited miles, as long as you own the car. You can buy it from Bill Curry Ford. 5 years later, engine issues, Bill Curry Ford warranty, okay? That's a lifetime warranty. And then on top of that, 10 years roadside assistance, 1 year complimentary service, the first year you get free oil changes, all that stuff, just take it in there. So you get all this no matter what you buy. And again, they've got tons of new inventory, tons of pre-owned stuff. See all the details and all that inventory at the website, BillCurryFord.com. That's C-U-R-R-I-E, BillCurryFord.com. And go see Sean. Mention my name. Mention Joe Bucks Fan. Mention the Free Stretch. Whatever it is, you will get the Joe Bucks Fan discount on top of the already transparent online pricing you can see on the website. Or go see him in person if you just want to go straight there. Right where it's always been for almost 60 years now. A mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. It's just north of Hillsborough Avenue on the east side of the road. Start shopping today. And I had a great time last night hanging out with Sean and everybody else at the Fantasy Draft. And I know Todd will be talking about that on his show and a bunch of other things. And again, I'm not a big fantasy guy. And I won't do too much on fantasy football here because I want to talk about the Bucks game. But my thing with fantasy football I've never liked is it's too individual. I'm all about the teams. I've always been such a huge Bucks fan. I've been so Bucks-minded every Sunday whenever the Bucks are playing, usually Sunday at 1. And I never liked, oh, I want the Bucks to win, but I've also got Aaron Rodgers on my fantasy team. So, oh, I hope the Bucks win like 42-38 and that Aaron Rodgers still has 4 touchdown passes, but the Bucks still win, but I hope he does well for my fantasy. No. There's no halfway with that. You're either all in on one thing or the other. I don't hope Aaron Rodgers has 4 touchdowns, but the Bucks still win. You know what I hope? The opposing quarterback, whoever it is, for the Bucks that they're playing, I hope the guy has 6 interceptions and has one of like a negative 38,000 quarterback rate. Because I'm a Bucks fan, and that's it. I don't care about anything else. So I'm not a big fantasy guy. There's too much like blurred lines and, you know, all these moral questions. I just don't like rooting against my team in any way or hoping anything. I don't even like betting the under in a Bucks game. I just don't bet on Bucks games. Because then you're starting, oh, well, I don't want him to score here. No. I don't do that. But I'll tell you the fun thing about fantasy football is the draft itself. That was fun. You always feel like a stud. You always feel really smart. You always feel like you could be the GM of something even bigger and more important than just a fantasy team, because you're a management guy and you know what to do and you're not afraid to step up and make calls and make a tough decision right there on the clock. People love doing that. You know, people love being a GM. That's why fantasy football is so popular, I think, aside from, you know, just the week-to-week stuff. So that part was fun. Like, it felt fun to authoritatively step up. Hey, Bobby, your pick. And I'd step up and say, give me Mike Evans. He's on my board at this spot. This is the guy I want, you know, that type of thing. Everybody loves doing that. So fun times last night. And you can see more about it on the website if you go to joebucksfan.com. As far as the game goes, oh, and if you want to email me, and I've been terrible on emails lately. I have a few emails I haven't responded to. Trust me, I'm going to respond to you. And it's not because I have so many emails that I don't mean to make it sound like I'm way popular. I just mean I've been procrastinating. But I will email you back. BobbyGameDay@yahoo.com is the email address. BobbyGameDay at yahoo.com. And then Twitter. Yeah, Twitter, you can get me at BobbyGameDay. That one's a little more direct. You know, I'm always checking that. But anyway, Thursday night. Or excuse me, I keep saying Thursday night. It was Friday night. Preseason's been weird this year. I had a single Saturday game this year. It used to be all the preseason games were on Saturday. They've been on Fridays now. We got one this coming Thursday. But Friday night with the Bucks win over the Browns. So, my first impressions of it, okay? The offensive line, for God's sake. And, you know, they always, oh, we don't want to read too much into it. It's correctable. I hear people saying, oh, well, they don't have their real package. And I'll bet in a real game they could have coached around that and they would have called things different. You can't coach around that, all right? I'm really worried about the offensive line. They got blasted. And forget about just the 5 sacks in the first half, which is just unbelievable. But forget about that. I mean, I'm watching Jameis Winston, and we haven't seen Jameis Winston a lot in the preseason. He's the starting quarterback. You're not going to see him a ton, especially now that he's been in the league for 4 years. I said this last year, too. Like, we got these huge decisions coming up. We had one last year, and they just went ahead and exercised the option. You know, they didn't do the whole shebang with the new contract yet. But again, we've got these big decisions coming up, aside from just wanting the Bucks to win, also deciding on the future of the team. How can you evaluate quarterback play with an offensive line like this? I mean, go back and watch it if you even want to put yourself through that for a preseason game. I have it on my DVR. You can probably go on Twitter. A lot of good Bucks follows on Twitter, whether it's besides Joe Buck's fan or not, but there's all kinds of video clips of this and that. Just watch snaps on the offensive side of the ball from the first half. And Jameis Winston has to be a contortionist from literally the moment that pebbled leather on the ball touches his fingertips. He's already got pressure. I mean, it's instantaneous pressure. And he did some amazing things the other night. I'm not trying to like make him out to sound like he's a hero or something, but I thought he did really well just to get passes off in some of those situations. He didn't force anything, didn't throw terrible picks as he has been wont to do, especially under pressure. But my God, I mean, I don't know how we're supposed to say, oh, he didn't do this well enough or he didn't that, or just evaluate him as a quarterback in general or any quarterback playing behind that line, because there is literally pressure from the moment the ball is snapped. And Bruce Arians, after the game, like right after the game, asked about the offensive line. Oh, they got their ass kicked. Okay, yeah, hey, that's true. But then the next day, he kind of had a chance to cool down, maybe watch some film, whatever. And the quote was this: Donovan played really well. Ollie played solid. Jensen played solid. Cap had a couple, got beat on a twist, got beat on a spin move. Dot got beat one. You know, really trying to rationalize, okay, well, if you look at this exact film, this play, that play, here's what happened. You know, and that's true. I mean, that, you know, you have to look at every play, look at the film, look at all 5 guys and what their responsibility was on that play, which coaches know better than anybody, obviously. And then you could say more legitimately, all right, here's how bad it was or wasn't. But still, we all saw it, okay? And it's not like this is the only time. I mean, it's been like this for a few years now. And last year, I remember on the show was a running theme, not just on my show, but on all the Joe Bucks fan shows. Oh my God, Caleb Benenach, how is this guy playing right guard, Caleb Benenach? I mean, are you kidding me? There have to be better options. What are the coaches thinking running this guy out there every week? And I said on my show, I don't remember what week it was. It might have been week 10, it might have been week 8. I can't remember. But I remember saying, you know, coaches aren't just doing this for fun. Let's just see what happens. They're going to go with the best option. So if you see a guy out there just getting absolutely annihilated down after down after down, and the coaches don't do anything about it, it's not because the coaches are idiots. It's because the guy behind him isn't a better option. And I said that last year. I was like, you know, it's fun. This is our whole existence as a podcaster or as a fan, or if you're a sports talk radio host or a caller or whatever, our whole existence is questioning things and why didn't the coaches do this? I get that. Everybody does that. But at the end of the day, like, do you ever really think, I mean, maybe some of you do. I never do. Do you really think you know more than the coaches, or that the coaches are doing something that they can't see, but you see it? Like, do you really think that? Because I promise you that is almost never true. Coaches make bad calls, like, philosophically. Like, you'll hear me on this show call out, well, whether it was Dirk Cutter or Lovie Smith or now Bruce Arians. Oh, well, that, you know, they punted on 4th and 2 from the opposing 47. You should have gone for it. I'll do that type of stuff. Because coaches can be wrong about that. But I'm talking about, like, personnel and stuff like that. Like, you really think that they were playing Caleb Benenock at guard last year, and he was not good, but they were doing that because they were mistakenly not playing somebody better behind him and they should have tried something out? Really? You don't think they tried it in practice maybe? And that, okay, so now Alex Kappa's the right guard. I remember he was really popular. Oh, Alex Kappa, put him up there. Got annihilated the other night, okay? And he probably will continue to get annihilated because we don't have people good enough to make a five-man offensive line. Yeah, Ollie Marpet's pretty good. Like him. You know, Donovan Smith, for better or worse, he's the left tackle. Say, like Darian said, Jensen, okay, well, not but we don't, as a five-man unit, we ain't there. All right? If you want to criticize Jason Light, fair game. Go have at it. We have a dire need on the offensive line that we did not address. We drafted 47 defensive backs, and we need those too. It's like I said about the draft. No matter how bad you are, no matter how good your pick is, you can't take it all, you know, whatever, with the fourth pick. You only get one guy with the fourth pick, or you can trade down and try and get two guys later. But you can't get all your needs met. So we needed DBs. Did we get too many of them or not? Who, I don't know. You know, Jamel Dean could end up being pretty good. Whatever. Sean Murphy Bunting. But we did it at the expense of not getting offensive linemen. And it really hurt. Looking back, I remember talking on the show again, before last year's draft. And it was like, oh man, Quentin Nelson. Like, I was huge on him. Loved him. We needed him. And the Colts took him. It was the pick right before us, right? I'm trying to look it up right now as I'm talking. But he got drafted, I think it was one pick before, I'm looking at the 2018 NFL draft, and then we ended up taking Vita Vea. And Vita might end up being really good too. We definitely need him. I'm not saying we don't, but that, like, that would have been nice. Like, we really needed a guy like Quentin Nelson at that point, and we couldn't get it done. And yeah, Quentin Nelson ended up going to the Colts at number 6. We traded down, we got Vita Vea, and the Bills traded up, took Josh Allen with that 7th pick. And I wonder if Quentin Nelson had been there, if we would have taken him and stood pat or not. I don't know. No way to know. Maybe Jason Light would tell us one day. But anyway, point is, our offensive line is getting hammered on the reg, as the kids say, and it's not going to get any better. That's my worry. It's not going to get any better. And I'm optimistic. I'm one of the people that's usually the optimistic type, but I see people on Twitter, like, there was, I can't remember the Twitter account, but there was one Twitter account that had a nice little mashup of all the Jameis Winston, I think it was Real Bucks Talk, had a mashup of all the Jameis Winston pressures the other night and him trying to escape, him making quick throws, having to do things he didn't want to do quicker than he wanted to do them. And somebody in the comments was like, oh, well, you know, it's the preseason. They're not for real. They probably could have schemed around that if it had been a, you know, no. It is a glaring and marked and serious deficiency on this football team. And it was a big problem last year. And going into this year, it's the biggest concern I have. Even the defense, which was almost historically bad, and obviously they can go nowhere but up, they will improve. But even with that, the offensive line coming into the season, of course we took some steps to improve the defense, how effective they'll be remains to be seen, but we took steps. The offense, and particularly the offensive line, we didn't do anything to improve it, and it wasn't as in much need as the defense, but the offensive line was. and we didn't do anything, and we haven't done anything. So I, you know, again, I want to be optimistic. I want to think all these things are possible. The Bucks can go 9-7, 10-6. You know, everybody always wants to think that, but they cannot win football games with that offensive line playing the way it did the other night. And it wasn't a preseason. That was your starting five. If anything, they weren't going up against, you know, probably the best that they'll go up against. Although the Browns do have a pretty good defensive front. So, in fairness, let's give them that. But still, I mean, it's just, it's not good enough. And we're out here looking at, oh, well, Jameis Winston needs to do this, that, and the other. He can't do anything. Nobody can do anything behind the line the way it is there. So I'm worried about it. It's something we're all going to be watching, obviously. The running game, for its part, did absolutely nothing either. The two biggest rushers, I think, were Jameis and Blaine Gabbert, who probably got more yards when he hurt himself than on any other carry. And again, I can't even judge the running game. Same thing. Evaluation. What do you want to say about Peyton Barber or Ronald Jones? Who the hell knows? There's people everywhere all the time the minute they touch the ball. There's no lanes. There's no clearance. There's no daylight. So that was a worry for me. Defensively, obviously that was much better. Didn't give up a touchdown, 4 field goals. Now, again, in fairness, no Chubb, no Odell Beckham, no Landry for the Browns. But still, solid performance. It was good to see the secondary. They had 6 passes defensed. Jordan Whitehead had 2. Jordan Whitehead definitely is a bright spot. And he's a guy who has a chance to be really good. Looks like he can really help this team. So that's one you want to say, okay, good stuff there. Noah Spence was playing the entire game, which tells you everything you need to know. 60 snaps on defense, and he was in there for all of them. He did not come off the field. Bruce Arians said, quote, just seeing if he can get better. That whole group of guys, it's a big fight over there. So, you know, he's just another guy in camp battling for a spot, and he'll probably make the team, but I just want to close down any of the Noah Spence stuff just permanently. Like, I mean, I hope he ends up making some plays. I hope he proves me wrong, whatever. But if it was going to happen with Noah Spence, it would have happened by now. It has not happened yet. And to see him out there in the third preseason game in the fourth quarter playing with a bunch of other people who are not going to make their teams. And he was the only one who played every snap, I believe. Greg Allman's got the snap counts up on his Twitter account. So I don't know, you know, Noah Spence, anything he does at any point is gravy, but I wouldn't count on much there. There were no, but the penalties overall were not good. They had like 9 for 70-something yards, but there were no special teams penalties, which that alone gets a gold star. I've ranted many times before about how these guys are incapable of covering a punt or blocking on punt coverage or kickoff without committing some sort of hold or block in the back. They just can't do it. Well, they did it the other night. And there weren't a lot of special teams plays, but there were a few, and no penalties there. So that's the long and short of it from Thursday night. Again, I said Thursday, Friday night, and I don't really have anything else to say. And there won't be much to say about this coming Thursday night either as we wrap up the preseason. Of course, you won't see a lot from any of the starters who are at this point just getting ready for the opener against the 49ers. Tim McGraw is going to have his concert at 2 p.m. That's 2 weeks from yesterday. I'm recording this on Monday. And you've got the 425 kickoff, and we'll get all ready for that. I'll do another normal show at the end of this week after Thursday night's preseason game, although, again, there won't be much to say just based on the preseason game. There's lots of other things I want to get to. BobbyGameDay@yahoo.com is the email address. On Twitter, you can get me at BobbyGameDay. So let's talk about Saturday night, because that was an eventful night, even though it didn't involve preseason football for the Bucks, who had played the night before. But Saturday night, I went and sat down on my couch to watch the Florida-Miami game. I would have gone to Orlando, but again, 2 kids, my buddy that lives right down the street from the stadium, we were going to get set up at his place and go walk to the game. He had to go out of town for work. Didn't end up making the trip. Stayed home, watched the game on TV. So, I know a lot of you, if you're listening to this, you're all Bucks fans, so that part's easy. But for college football, some of you may be bigger fans than others, and some of you may follow different teams. I've gotten fridge schedule requests for USF, Florida, Florida State, and I'll do them all. But I won't bore you with the details of my Gator fandom too much. And so I'll say this about Saturday's game in general, because it kind of applies to the NFL as well as college, but it applies to college football overall. Okay, 15-yard penalties are an epidemic in football. And they are starting, I shouldn't say starting, but it's getting worse now. they're really affecting my enjoyment of the game, almost more than any other aspect of the game. Nothing makes me feel like I'm watching pro wrestling more than these frivolous, garbage, and yet crucial, huge, gigantic, game-changing 15-yard penalties. And they hand them out like they're free candy. 15 yards, first down, doesn't matter what happened on the prior play. It happened like four times in the Florida-Miami game, and it happens in every college football game. And I'm not talking about like football plays, like pass interference 15 yards in college, which it should be. That's much better than it being a spot foul. And even a late hit out of bounds is still kind of... But like these sports unsportsmanlike conduct calls, let me tell you something. There was a point in the game the other night, and it happened against both teams, like Miami had one too, but there was a point in the game the other night, the Gators got a huge third down stop, like it was the second half tight game, it was like third and eight, they really needed a big stop, okay? And the Miami quarterback rolled out right, couldn't find anybody, ended up getting run out of bounds, couldn't quite get to the stick, all right, big stop, forced a punt, that's a huge moment in this game. Flag comes out. One of the Gator players, and he didn't do it on purpose, he got blocked into him, but he got blocked into the quarterback and kind of nicked the quarterback on the white stripe on his way out of bounds. So again, garbage call, just a garbage call. Wasn't unsportsmanlike, wasn't a late hit, he got blocked into him. But even if he had done it on purpose, let's say it was a legitimate unsportsmanlike late hit, okay? Any of these unsportsmanlike conduct penalties, first of all, they need to be 10 yards, not 15 yards. And second of all, they need to not affect the down and distance in any way. They need to literally call a 10-yard penalty and then move everything up 10 yards, including the chains. So if like you stop a guy out of bounds shy of the stick and they call a late hit, and it's, again, a non-football play. I'm talking about after the whistle, after the guy's out of bounds, taunting, any of this garbage stuff that doesn't even matter but that they make these huge calls about. Any of those calls, it's a 10-yard penalty. But if you stop them on third and eight, now it's fourth and eight or fourth and six, whatever it is, you move up 10 yards, so you get the penalty, but this automatic first down bullshit, no. It's still fourth and eight, only you move up 10 yards, okay? Fine. Because I'm sick of watching these games, and every time a play gets made, you have to wait a few seconds to make sure, and then the whole thing gets nullified. There was one point, and this is even worse than the first one, Miami had first and 10, it's like their own 34, something like that, whatever it was. First and 10. So they hand the ball off. The Gators make a phenomenal play, get a huge push up front. They blow the play up in the backfield. Now it's second and 17, a 7-yard loss. Like they hit the running back as he was still getting the ball handed to him from the quarterback. All right, woo, second and 17, big stop. Here we go. Flag comes out. This one we didn't even see. Even the ABC or ESPN cameras couldn't find it. Personal foul, unsportsmanlike conduct, 15-yard penalty, first down. So now instead of second and 17 from their own, like 26, now it's first and 10 from midfield. And on the next play, Miami scored a touchdown. And I'm not excusing the Gators, you know, defense giving the touchdown. But that literally probably ends up a three and out and Miami punts. And instead they score a touchdown because we just nullify the whole play. And the guy, this wasn't even like a physical like late hit. He might have said MF-er or something, like as if anybody care. I don't care what these guys say to each other. Let them say whatever they want. As long as nobody does anything violent and you can't make an obscene gesture. One time the Miami guy gave the double bird flip, and I guess you have to call that. But even if you do, these 15-yard penalties, again, make them all 10. That should have been second and 17, now from the 37 instead of the 27. But it's still a 10-yard penalty. Nothing changes with the down and distance. Move the sticks up. Move everything up. Keep the same scenario. That way you're still penalizing a kid. He's still going to get yelled at by his coaches. They're still disincentive to do it, which, by the way, doesn't matter because if you can tell, there's more 15-yard penalties than ever despite their efforts to disincentivize all this stuff. But whatever, 10 yards, move them up, and that, and keep the game. It's just, it's ridiculous. It makes me feel, and it works both ways, even when it helps my team. These guys, you know, you put all this blood, sweat, and tears into it. As a fan, you put all this emotion into it. You get all into it. Then a huge play in the game gets made, and they just pick it up and move it up 15 yards and give them a first down anyway after you get these defensive stops. And it's garbage. Like, that game Saturday night was a joke. And as close as it was, as random as all this is anyway with those penalties, do I feel like, oh, the Gators just did more? They just found a way to eke it out in the end. Who the hell knows? They counted and discounted dozens of different plays throughout the game for just bullshit, nebulous reasons that we can't even see with cameras all over the field. And it cheapens the entire fan experience. And I get why they do it with things like targeting and stuff, because at least they're trying to, you know, change the way guys fundamentally play the game. And it takes years to do that, but that's what they're trying to do. But when I see a guy sack a guy or make a huge stop for a loss in the backfield, then he leans over him and says something. Whatever the hell it is, I could care less. And then they cancel that whole play out because the guy said something mean? Get the hell out of here with that. That game Saturday was a joke. I barely feel like the Gators won it. I barely feel like Miami lost it. I almost feel like it was just an exhibition. Because it does. It feels like pro wrestling when, like, the referee, when it's like a guest referee who's actually in alliance with one of the wrestlers, and he, like, punches a guy in the back of the head or something, and then he takes the other guy who's unconscious, he drags him over and, like, puts his arm on top of the guy, then he counts it. That's what it felt like. Like, even though the Gators won, and I'm glad they won, most of all, because if they had lost, you'd say, oh, Bobby, this is sour grapes, nobody wants to hear it, your team lost, deal with it, which is stupid, because complaints can be valid, win or lose. But I'm glad the Gators won, because at least now idiots can't say that, because my team won, and I'm still saying this. The officiating was garbage. It's a huge problem in college football. It's somewhat less of, but still a big problem in the NFL as well. The entire way we look at unsportsmanlike conduct and non-football penalties is fundamentally wrong, and we need to fix it. There shouldn't even be such a thing as a 15-yard penalty. Like, no penalty should be more than 10 yards, ever. If you pull out a shank on the field and stab one of the opposing players, that should be 10 yards, okay? And it should never change the down and distance. It should just be a simple 10-yard advancement in field position. And that's all I have to say about that. BobbyGameDay@yahoo.com is my email address. On Twitter, you can get me at BobbyGameDay. Ridiculous. I mean, just utterly ridiculous watching that game Saturday and trying to take it seriously. It's the closest I've ever come to just turning it. Because I really, I told my wife, I was like, I'm not going to let football make me mad this year. Like, it wasn't even like because the Gators threw an interception or fumbled. I'm talking about just the officiating made me so mad. And maybe I care about it too much. Maybe that's the problem. But like, win, lose, or draw, my team, your team, whoever, I can live with all that. But one thing I want is for it to be fair and straight up. And the players decide it. I mean, and actual football penalties should be called. I mean, if a guy holds, that affects the outcome of the game. Not calling that is just as unfair as calling that. But you know what? The non-football stuff, the unsportsmanlike, the taunting, the what, even the late hits, 10 yards, move it up, and that's it. That makes me feel like a team just got gifted the ball. It's almost as bad as the NFL's pass interference penalty when they launch a ball 60 yards downfield and guys get tangled up and they call PI. And they, oh, we'll just put it at the one-yard line. Just take a free touchdown. First and goal from the one. And that's the most absurd one of all. But anyway, we'll do the Andrew Luck thing on the Friday show. I'm going to do another show on Friday after the preseason game, Thursday night. Bucks-Cowboys. Always a conflict because you've got, until they started doing this week zero stuff, that was the opening night of college football. But it's still a huge night in college football on Thursday. But I'll still be going back and forth. I'll still be watching the fourth preseason game. Good luck to Vincent Testaverde. Also a graduate of my alma mater, Jesuit High School, and he'll be playing the whole game for the, or not most of the game, maybe the whole game, but definitely most of the game for the Bucks. And hopefully it goes well for him. Justin Evans will be playing. He's probably the only guy you'll recognize as a starter in the past that'll be playing much because he's missed so much of the first three preseason games. And other than that, you know, it's the fourth preseason game. Let's get it over with. Let's get ready for opening day next week. In the meantime, oh, the fridge schedules. I have finished the Bucks one. I'm going to get it posted on the website. I'm working on some stuff as far as Microsoft Word or whatever versus LibreOffice. Don't worry. It's going to be on the website. You'll be able to print it out in the next few days. That way it's up in your cubicle, on your fridge, or wherever else, ready for next week when the Bucks kick the season off. So we'll do all that then. I'll do my Andrew Luck stuff on the Friday show, like I said. In the meantime, I want to thank all of you for listening, as always. Thanks to Greg last night, a couple of others also came up to me at the fantasy draft, so it's always good to meet some listeners in person, and I want to do that more. I want to get out to some stuff this year and do some stuff in person. But thanks to all you guys. Thanks to our good friends at Bill Curry Ford, Sean Sullivan, also there last night. Had a great time with him. Thanks to the Joes for giving me the platform to do this show on the number one place on the internet for Bucks coverage. I will be back on Friday. Until then, have a great week. Hope your week's off to a good start. and enjoy all the football there is to go around, Rays games, all that stuff, whatever it is. Be safe, have fun, wherever you are. Good morning, good afternoon, good night, and go Bucks.